Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Yesterday, of course, was Easter Sunday. Hopefully there's not a collective sigh of relief amongst Catholics relative to being able to return to whatever it was that was being given up for Lent. Never mind the fact that, say, not eating chocolate or giving up potato chips isn't really the only way to fast during that season of the church. In sports, we hear a wide array of examples of just being so attached to something. The basketball player who stays after practice and stands at the foul line, shooting until he makes 100 baskets. The baseball player who won't step out of the batting cage until he swings so many times in a row without a whiff. The hockey player who stays on the ice so long working on his shot that they tell him to make sure he locks up before he leaves the rink. Heck, the sports fan who has multiple TVs plus snacks on top of a small refrigerator that sits next to the recliner because they just can't tear themselves away from watching the games. The lesson here has to be that while someone might try to make a case that being asked to cut back on these activities is fasting, it's not an unbearable sacrifice, no matter how grand a gesture it might seem. Good Friday was our opportunity to be reminded of the ultimate sacrifice. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Friends, we can live without the chocolate, we can live without the TV sports marathon, but we can't live without Jesus. He is risen. Welcome him back into your heart. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Bishop of the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. He has run 24 marathons in 17 cities, three of those in Europe. He is nicknamed the Holy Goalie for, to this day, continuing to play that position in hockey. In 2013, he was inducted into the Sports Faith International Hall of Fame. He has just put out a brand new book called Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness, which follows a book he had previously written called Holy Goals for Body and Soul, 8 Steps to Connect Sports with God and Faith. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bishop Thomas John Paprocki.
Hello, Bruce. It's great to be with you, and really appreciated your Easter reflection there.
Thank you, Bishop. Glad to have you here. As far as I can tell from my research, you immersed yourself in your Catholic faith very early in life, which included going to the seminary at a young age. But was sports a big part of your life as a kid, or did that actually come later?
sports was a big part of my life when I was young, as was the church. So I'm from a large family. I'm the third of nine children.
Wow.
There are seven boys in my family, and so we sort of had our own built-in sports teams. There was always somebody to play with. And my dad was a big sports fan, baseball, White Sox from the south side of Chicago, and hockey. He used to take us to hockey games at the old Chicago Stadium before they built the United Center. And so at a young age, I got interested in the game of hockey. And also my dad and my mom were both very religious and would take us to church. So it seemed a lot of my early life was centered around sports and faith. And that's kind of interesting how that's panned out later with the books I've written about the connection between sports and faith. But that interest in faith came at a very early age, too. I was only about 4 years old. My mother said I was starting to talking about wanting to be a priest. So
wow.
I actually went to high school seminary and college seminary, and then I was ordained at the age of 25. So, both sports and religion were very influential at early points in my life.
But I wonder specifically, though, and listeners, for your benefit, back on episode 80 of this show, my guest was Father Michael Leitner, who is an administrator of three churches in Northeast Wisconsin. He told an amazing story on that episode of his call to the priesthood. Do please go back and listen to that powerful testimony in episode 80 if you haven't heard it already. But Bishop Paprocki, how about you? How and when did you know that you were being called to the priesthood? Was there kind of one of those revelations, a aha kind of moment, or was it what you just described, that it just built over time from maybe as young as age 4?
I'd say more of the latter. It was just sort of a natural growth of my faith from a very early age. So it wasn't like at some point I was like St. Paul and got knocked off my horse and had this revelation that God was calling me to be a priest. It was something that I was very interested in from an early age. My mother was baptized when she was 13, and so the priest that instructed her in the faith remained a good friend of the family. Even after she got married, he'd come over sometimes and visit with us, or we'd go to his parish and visit with him. And so Father Stanley Rokaczynski was his name. We called him Father Rocky. And so Father Rocky was probably one of the very first influences in my life. Also, my dad actually was in the seminary. He went to the high school seminary in Chicago, to Quigley Seminary, and 1 year to the major seminary at Mundelein before he discerned that God was not calling him to be a priest. Mm. He was calling him to get married. And so we got married, my mother, and they had nine children, one of whom would become a priest and a bishop. But the fact that my dad was in the seminary, he knew a lot of priests. And my dad had a pharmacy a block away from our parish church. And sometimes priest friends that my dad knew would just stop in the drugstore to say hi to my dad. And so I just grew up knowing a lot of priests. And I think just as a young child might say, well, I want to be a police officer or firefighter when I get older, I knew priests, and so I want to be a priest when I grow up. And so it just started that way, and then the more I learned about it, I would say it was kind of like a deepening process. So as I said, it wasn't just like this sudden moment that everything turned around. It was like each step I took from high school seminary to college seminary to major seminary was like, this feels right, and I should keep going. And that's kind of the way it happened.
And I think you said you were ordained at the age of 25. Being that you had grown up around sports and faith, was it right away when you became a priest that you started to see how well sports and faith go together, or was that maybe later on in the priesthood?
Yeah, I'd say the connection maybe came a little bit later. So my involvement with running also kind of involved. That started when I was in high school. And I wasn't on a cross-country or track team. It was more out of concern for my own health, as well as to stay in shape to play hockey, which still is my favorite sport in many ways. But three of my grandparents died in their 50s before I was born. And so I was reading about the cardiovascular benefits of aerobic training and realizing that apparently I didn't have a very good gene pool with regard to the possibility of heart disease, I thought, well, I better do some aerobic training if I want to live past 55. So aerobic training would be either running, biking, or swimming. I don't swim very well, and it just seemed running was the most efficient. So I said, well, I'll try. I ran a mile, and I hated it. And it was just not very pleasant. But it was the motivation. It was like, no, you got to stick with this. You got to do it. And so I would run a mile throughout college. And then when I went to the major seminary at Mundelein, there was a lake there, and it was 3 miles around the lake. So I got in the habit of running 3 miles around the lake. And it wasn't until several years later that I even had the thought of doing a marathon. People knew I was a runner, with the running boom, the marathon boom really kind of started in the 1980s, and people would ask me if I wanted to run a marathon, and I just would say, no, I'm fine doing, through my 3 miles. But then one day I was with my brothers. We had played hockey, and afterwards we were out for pizza. And it must have been between Christmas and New Year's, because we were talking about New Year's resolutions and just going around the table. And they got to me, and I sort of half jokingly blurted out, I said, I think I'll run a marathon next year. And my youngest brother, Alan, was next to me, and he said quite seriously, oh, I'm thinking of doing that too. And next thing I knew, we were both training for the 1995 Chicago Marathon, which we ran side by side, and we actually finished together, got the photo at the finish line, and we're both crossing at the same time. He says he's a step ahead of me, but I'll give him that. He's 13 years younger than I am.
Way back on episode 10 of this show, I talked with Chicago Bears Vice President and Board Member Pat McCaskey, who is the Chairman of Sports Faith International. Bishop Paprocki, if someone told you when you were, say, 13 years old, that one day you would be a bishop and that one day you would be inducted into a Sports Hall of Fame, which do you think you would have been more surprised to hear, and why?
Probably the latter. I think, as a young boy, I never thought about being a bishop. It's interesting because here I've got some friends here in the Springfield Diocese, and one of our staff members, in fact, has a few sons, and they play Mass, and she's shown me pictures when they take turns being the bishop. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that they're playing bishop. I never played bishop, to be a bishop, I just wanted to be a priest. So being a bishop when I was named a bishop at the age of 50 came as something that I was not quite expecting, I would say probably even expecting less to get any kind of recognition for anything athletic. I love sports. I don't consider myself to be the most talented athlete. It's just more of a something I do for fun. And so to actually get inducted into something like the Sports Faith Hall of Fame by someone like Patrick McCaskey, and he's the grandson of the founder of the Chicago Bears, that's pretty awesome.
I do want to talk about your new book, and I do want to ask you to give us all some guidance with regards to these tumultuous times we're seeing in sports and in society, and a lot of times the overlap of the two. But first, just share with us about the marathons that you were able to participate in. Mind you, listeners, this was in the same year in Athens and in Rome, which were also at a time when you were studying in Poland?
Well, no, I studied in Poland during that summer of 2000. Yes, I ran in Rome on January 1st, 2000, and then I spent the summer in Poland studying Polish at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, and then I ran in the Athens Marathon that November. So the way all that happened, I was Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Chicago from 1992 to 2000. And then the Archbishop at the time, the late Cardinal Francis George, he wanted me to be a pastor, and there was a big Polish parish near O'Hare Airport. And I said, well, I'd be happy to do that, but if I'm going to be pastor of this parish, I need to brush up on my Polish. So I actually took sort of a sabbatical, spent that summer in Poland, and then part of that when I came back was to run in Athens. But, you know, the Rome Marathon came about. I thought it was it'd be kind of a cool way to start the millennium on January 1st, 2000. And normally the Rome Marathon is in the spring, like in March. But that year, because of the beginning of the millennium, they called it the Marathon del Jubileo, the Marathon of the Jubilee, the millennium year. And so there were about 5,000 of us runners, and we gathered in St. Peter's Square. The Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, gave the noon Angelus, as he usually did from his apartment window overlooking St. Peter's Square. And then he gave a blessing. Somebody must have told him that we were down there, and he gave us a blessing for all the marathon runners. And then he said, in Italian, buona maratona, which means have a good marathon. And so then we took off and ran through the streets of Rome and up to the St. Paul's outside the walls, and then back and finished up at the Colosseum.
Wow.
And then the marathon in Athens was actually the original course, where the word marathon comes from. The town of Marathonos is in Greece. It's in English we say a marathon. And so the story was about a messenger whose name was Pheidippides. Was about 495 BC. He was bringing news of the results of the battle that took place on the plains of Marathon, involving, you know, the people from the city-state of Athens. So he ran that distance, 26 miles from Marathon to Athens, and he arrived in Athens with a one-word message. In Greek, he said Nike, which means victory. We say Nike, but we pronounce it Nike. But that's basically a Greek word that means victory. And so he shouts Nike, and he dropped dead. Mm. And ever since then, I guess it's like, well, if you can run 26 miles without dropping dead, that's a great achievement.
Those are great stories, though. Great stories. And listeners, indeed, we are blessed to have another member of the clergy on the show, and a bishop at that. And so we should continue to seek wisdom, be it through a book or a podcast from these church leaders. But before we move on, I have to continue to thank everyone who has been praying for my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. I am without a doubt a firm, firm believer in the power of prayer. And even though we're not in the same church or the same room together, we are in community with one another as the body of Christ. And through prayer, we have the power to lift one another up and not succumb to Satan. You've heard me mention on some episodes of the show the way that I have seen efforts that could only come from the evil one to try to thwart this ministry. But as the hands and feet of Jesus, we will prevail. If you've been listening for a while now, you also know that Catholic Sports Radio, however, is just me. I'm a one-man operation. I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. The booking of all the guests, researching for the interviews, recording and then editing the episodes, promoting the show, plus all the behind-the-scenes administrative work all comes down to yours truly. Plus, all the expenses have to come out of my own pocket. I've given out lots of examples of those costs over a number of episodes of this show. So I do ask for your support. If you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything I put into this and deliver, I'd greatly appreciate your support. There's a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts, no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website to ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Either way, I sure appreciate everyone who contributes. On past episodes, I have said the names of some of the folks who have contributed, and I'll happily even say your name too when you contribute to this ministry, or I can give you a public thanks via social media, or of course, as some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio in helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Bishop, your new book is called Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. I think the tendency is for the casual observer to say, sure, yeah, I see it. A marathon runner is essentially by themselves, so they can talk to God while they're in the race. But your book shows so much more than that, and you don't even have to be a marathon runner to read and gain from it.
Right. So I wrote this book in a way that really is to help people to physical fitness as well as spiritual fitness. And running is one way to do that. I mean, there's other ways to address physical fitness, but I basically start out with the premise that there's a very strong connection between body and soul, and our bodies and our souls are a unit, in a sense. Unlike the ancient Greeks, who made this distinction, a duality, we called it, they would see the body as sort of a shell that you just used while you were here on Earth, and when you died, you'd cast off that shell, and then you would live forever as a spirit. And our Catholic teaching is not that way. We believe in the unity of the body and the soul. Yes, when we die, we're separated from our soul, but that's only temporary. We believe that God will reunite our body and soul when Jesus comes again at the second coming, and we'll be raised up in a glorified form like he was at the resurrection, which we just celebrated with Easter. And that, so that's an important point in this book, that then we should treat our bodies with respect, and we should take care of them because this is a gift to us from God's creation. And so I have the eight steps here. They all start with the prefix R-E, re. So it's review, reform, resolve, repeat, renew, relax, reward, rejoice. And each one of those applies to the physical as well as the spiritual. So my book is not divided into parts like, all right, this chapter is going to be about training for a marathon. The next chapter is going to be about spiritual development. They go hand in hand. And so I talk, for example, how in a very practical way, one of the things I do when I'm running, I have a little finger rosary with, 10 beads. String, and I'm saying the rosary while I'm running. It also works the other way, that when we're running, it helps to I feel better. I'm thinking better. I'm thinking more clearly because I'm keeping my body in a condition that it helps to raise my spirits and make me feel better. Also, marathon runners will tell you that if you want to finish a marathon, you need some pretty deep spiritual resources to do that. You can't just go out and run a marathon. You have to develop your sense of virtue, of good habits, and really repeating. That's where the repeat comes from. You do the training over and over again, and you have to have fortitude. You have to have endurance, and so all these things they really do tie together very much.
In your book, you say, quote, spiritually, our ultimate goal is to become saints, end quote. And in that section, you also talk about having met two canonized saints, Pope St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Calcutta. Can you share with the audience how you tie that in with this concept of running for a higher purpose?
Yes. Well, first of all, I think we tend to think of saints as something like from centuries ago. The early Christians were saints when they died as martyrs in the Roman persecutions and things like that. But a lot of people don't realize there were actually more martyrs in the 20th century than there were in all the previous centuries. But there, this really comes home to me because we might think of, well, saints are holy people that you read about in books. I've actually met a couple of saints, so it's very personal for me. Mm-hmm. I the good fortune of meeting St. John Paul II several times. I studied in Rome from 1987 to 1991, which is in many ways sort of the peak of his pontificate, when he was robust and in good health. Then also had the opportunity while I was living in Rome to meet Mother Teresa. I used to say Mass for her community, the Missionaries of Charity, at their convent, San Gregorio, behind the Colosseum in Rome. And one early Saturday morning, I was celebrating Mass, and it was a very simple chapel, no pews or kneelers. The nuns were just barefoot on the floor, and in the corner, in the back of the room, there was a little figure that was huddled there, and I'm kind of looking at it, well, I think that's Mother Teresa, and sure enough, she came in the sacristy after Mass to thank me for celebrating the Mass, which was pretty humbling to meet her and to have her thanking me. But then it was interesting, too. This is the early 1990s, so I didn't have a cell phone, so I don't have a selfie with Mother Teresa, but I did get to meet her. So, yeah, so meeting someone like that says that sainthood is a possibility. And then, again, tying it in with the connection of the connection between sports and faith is, you know, we try to grow in virtue, and virtue are good virtues are good habits, you know, like fortitude, courage, and consistency, things like that. You want to break bad habits. So even the habit of getting up and running in the morning, which is usually when I do it, I'm not a morning person by nature, so I have to kind of force myself out the door. But you know, once I get moving, get a half a mile or so, I wake up and I feel better. I don't use caffeine, so I rely on my morning run to get my blood going and to wake me up, and it does that. But the fact that I do that, you know, so the next morning I wake up and I'm still kind of sluggish. It's like, well, I know how I'm going to feel, you know, once I get moving. So it motivates me to go out the door and to get going. So, you know, it just becomes a habit. It becomes a routine. And I think those good habits in both our physical and spiritual lives are what lead us then to this sense of seeking oneness or unity with God.
Well, while we're talking about running, I do want to give Bishop Aprocki an opportunity to speak to the fact that those 24 marathons that he participated in that I mentioned back in the intro have resulted in just over $500,000 being raised for charity in the process.
Yes, that's been a big part of my running too. In addition to praying while I'm running, I've made fundraising a part of that. There's an interesting story that goes with my first marathon. When I was training with my brother, you know, when you run your first marathon, you're training for it. I wasn't really sure that I could finish it. I guess I'm sort of a doubting Thomas, and wondering, can I really do this? And when my brother and I ran our 20-mile training run 3 weeks before the marathon, that kind of gave me the assurance that I could do this. You know, if you can run 20 miles, they tell you, well, you should be able to finish the 26.2. You don't go the full way because you know you're kind of building up to that at the marathon. So I ran the 20-mile training run. And I thought, okay, I'd not send out anything to anybody about running this because, again, I was a little unsure of myself. So I thought, okay, I ran the 20-miler. I'll send out my fundraising flyer. So I did, and I was raising money for a charity in Chicago, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And I was living at Holy Name Cathedral in Chicago at the time, and one of the parishioners gave me his pledge form, and he pledged $100 a mile.
Wow.
And I thought, well, maybe he means he's just going to give me a total of $100, but
yeah.
He had the check attached to it, not just the pledge form. He had a check for $2,620.
Mm.
So I got that, and I said, well, I'm committed now. So that really strengthened my resolution. I said, I'm not giving this check back. So I resolved I'm going to have to do this race.
Listeners, Bishop Paprocki's new book is called Running for a Higher Purpose, 8 Steps to Spiritual and Physical Fitness. You can order it at holygoalie.net, and I will also put a link on the show page for this episode on catholicsportsradio.net, so you can click that and link over to purchase his book. Bishop, just two final questions before we wrap up here. I mentioned this before. What kind of guidance can you give the audience as it relates to so much civil unrest that we've seen over the last year, whether it's race issues or violence or the coronavirus, and then athletes taking a stand or sometimes not taking a stand or playing games or not playing games? I would just appreciate your spiritual direction for everyone who's listening and likely has not been at peace during all of this.
Well, yes, that's a very good point to bring up there, because a lot of what's been happening in our world has been very discouraging for a lot of people, both in terms of the coronavirus and having to deal with all the fallout and the restrictions with that, as well as the violence in our society, and that can be very discouraging. I think we have to remember discouragement is actually a tool of the devil, and the evil one wants us to be discouraged rather than to place our trust and our hope in the Lord. And so to keep coming back to that, especially, I think that's a good thing for us to be thinking about during the Easter season. We come back to our Lord's, you know, crucifixion, and how discouraged his mother and the disciples must have been seeing Jesus die on the cross. But then, you know, for him to rise from the dead, the joy that brought to them. So I think we have to take a longer view of things, that, you know, when we were confronted with something that's not going right or that we're discouraged with it, to have trust in God and to just believe that we should again, be consistent, and when we should stick to it, you know, that we have to be confident that God will see us through this, and that His goodness and His grace will overcome all of these evils in the end.
Yeah, and I would add to that that when there's games that are canceled because of COVID reasons, and people get discouraged and say, "I was looking forward to watching that game," or "What am I supposed to do now?" That's the time when you rally around the schedule that you keep, where you say, "I'm just so busy, I'd love to make more time in my day for prayer." It just opened up for you. So, Bishop, I appreciate your perspective on that. Let's close on a lighter note, although honestly, I don't know who I should be asking you about, the Chicago Blackhawks and the season that they're having, since you are a hockey goalie after all, or the White Sox, since baseball season is getting underway.
Well, both of them, I think, are kind of exciting right now. So, you know, the Blackhawks, they've been a little bit hot and cold. They started kind of slow. They were giving up 5 goals a game, but they seem to be coming around. Their goaltending has been playing pretty well. Kevin Lankinen and Malcolm Subban have been coming through with some good games. So I think they're going to be competitive. And I think the White Sox, actually, from what I'm seeing, I think have a possibility of going all the way. What they're saying, they've got Tony La Russa back to manage, and he's won the World Series a few times with other teams. He managed the White Sox some years ago, so it's kind of interesting having him come back. So I think it's going to be an exciting spring and summer for the sports teams.
I agree. Bishop Aprocki, congratulations on the new book, and thank you so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Great to be with you, too, and your listeners.
And listeners, you know that we always close with a prayer. However, when I have a member of the clergy on, I always like to defer. And in this case, Bishop Aprocki has been kind enough to agree to close us out in prayer. So, Bishop, if you would, please.
Very good. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving. We praise you, and we rejoice at your resurrection from the dead and the promise that you give us, extending to us the invitation also to share in eternal life. We ask you to help us to strive for and to achieve the higher purposes for which you created us, so that we may share with you in your glory of eternal life. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.